I have the, I consider it a precious honor to introduce our speaker. It's not, if I look correctly, not a lot of information in our bulletin about her, so I will tell you what I know about our speaker. So I get an opportunity to share with you from where I sit, okay? Because I like it better when they don't give me the paper, because then you got to kind of figure out what to say. So I don't have to do that. I can just tell you what I know.
All right.
Okay? Yeah, I'll tell you what I know. I have had, I know at least two opportunities to kind of fellowship and share with our speaker this morning. And while she made it clear that she was a mother and she was a daughter, she was very adamant in her own little way about letting me know that she was extremely serious about her walk with the Lord, okay? And that she was serious about the way she served God.
Amen.
Okay, so I thought, well, I like that. That's somebody who I want to be friends with and want to be connected to. So I get the opportunity to introduce her to you, and I think that when she's finished, you will be able to say the same that I say, that this is a woman of God, and she's serious, extremely serious, not just serious, extremely serious, amen, about her walk,
amen,
and how she serves the Lord. So the next voice you will hear is that of Reverend Daniela Fain.
Amen.
Amen and bless God.
Amen.
I was looking at the bulletin and I noticed that there was a space for the introduction. And I realized I didn't give any information about an introduction. But God works all things out well, amen? Because, you know, it's really not about my degrees. It's really not about where I've been, what I've done, who I am, how much money I have, where I live. That's not what is important today, amen? But what is important is that I am a child of God and I am called of God. What is important is that there is a right now word from the Lord that he will deliver through me to you. Amen? So I thank my sister today for that introduction, for that simple introduction. I thank her for her spirit. I thank God for her worship leading, for her excitement and zeal in praising God. I like to be around people who like to praise the Lord, amen, who are excited about what God has done and what God is doing and is looking forward to what God will still do. I thank God for Deacon Hood and for Sister Lorraine and for their spirit and their presence in this place. I thank God most of all for God.
Yes.
None of us would be here today had God, the finger of God, not touched us, woke us up, and put it in our hearts and our minds to come and to worship him. I thank God for traveling with me all these ways and days. I thank God for how he has blessed me and kept me, for the people he's placed in my life. I give thanks to the pastor of this house. I just love his spirit, and I love his zeal, and I love the way he opens himself up for God to just use him. We need to continuously keep him in prayer because the enemy would have other to happen. Amen?
Amen.
And we thank him for his family. I thank God for the deacons and the leaders of this church who have allowed me this opportunity to come before you and share with you what thus says the Lord. There is a word from the Lord today, amen? How many need to hear from the Lord today? How many came out just for a nugget from the Lord to encourage them on this day? This moment is an awe-inspiring moment for me, not just in the fact that I have an opportunity to be used of God, that I have an opportunity to stand in this place of proclamation. But those of you may not know, I have been in ministry some, don't want to say it really, well over 22, 25 years. And yet I had a little sabbatical, and I was raising my girls and trying to be a good wife. Was I a good wife, honey? All right. And that was just the slip in to know that this is an awesome moment for me, because it has been well over 10 years that my husband and I have served leading in ministry together, because I have been in the congregation nurturing my girls and he's ministering at the church we had attended. But this is the first time in many years where we are sharing in the ministry. And I thank God for that. And this is the first time in a long time as a family we are worshiping together. I got my mom in the corner. I got my brother and my sister-in-law and my kids waving crazy at me. I got my nephew who's very embarrassed that I mentioned him. But I am grateful to God. And so it's kind of a place of mixed and excited emotion. I have people who I have met in this time of quietness when I was raising my children, and not necessarily in active ministry, but they're here. I have two girlfriends sitting up front, all ear. Don't fall asleep on me today. I have a coworker in the back who I tried to tell her she didn't have to come, but she pressed forward and brought her husband as well. So I am grateful today. And I'm grateful for each face that I'm looking at on today. I'm grateful for your witness, for your testimony. Oh, no, I got two coworkers out there. Praise him. One came all the way from Philly. And so I thank God for this moment. And so I apologize for taking a little too long to give my thanks and praise, but this is an awe-inspiring just second for me, and I'm trying to soak it all in. I'm trying to hold on to it, because I think that God is just about to do a new thing in me, amen? We are embarking upon a delightful journey. And so I invite you to stand with me and turn with me in the Word of God to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. It's Jeremiah chapter 29, and we will begin at verse 10. And we will conclude the reading of God's word with verse 14. When you have it, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hear now for the word of God. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and the places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the message that it brings. We thank you for the guidance and the instruction it provides. We thank you, God, that your word can speak to our every situation. We thank you that your word meets us at our place of need and carries us to a place of hope. God, right now as we embark upon the proclamation, God, hide me behind your cross, God. Crucify the flesh and build up the spirit, God. Take full reign of the word today, for someone is in need of a word. Someone is searching for you today. And let not the drippings of my flesh be an obstacle to your word. Spirit, have your way in our midst. Allow the people to hear and know that there is a right now word, that God is among us, that God is speaking, and that God is moving. And God, we declare that we give you all praise. Hallelujah. And all glory and all honor belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray that the people of God say amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
This text is contains a favorite passage of mine. In this text, God's promise is given in the midst of trial. There is a word from the Lord. I alluded to earlier how grateful I am for so many things that God has done for me, through me, by me, and sometimes even in spite of me. When I take a moment and to think about all of what I have, who I am, where I've come from, I am grateful to God. For I know that I am nothing but by the grace of God. And as a believer in the Lord today, I am grateful for the benefits of God. You know, those things that we have, but those who don't know the Lord don't have. We have the benefit of a relationship with the Lord. I am grateful that I can call on him, I can go to him. He hears me, he speaks to me. Not everyone can do it. If you're not in relationship with the Lord, I'm glad that I have eternal life today. I'm not trying to rush and get there, but I'm glad that when my journey here is ended, that there is a place for me in glory, a place not made with hands. I'm glad for eternal life, the benefits of God. And I'm grateful for that peace that God gives, that peace that passes all understanding. You know, when the storms of life are raging and when it feels as though you just can't go on, and somehow the Lord speaks to the wind and the rain. And before you know it, the calm comes. I'm glad for the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. That joy that enables us to smile in the face of adversity. There are so many benefits that we have in knowing the Lord. Amen. And I would be remiss if I did not mention those two twins, Grace and Mercy. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. His grace that he blesses us with things that we didn't do anything for, and the mercy that he gives us when we don't deserve his blessings. There are so many benefits to know God and to walk with God and to be called of God and a child of God. And yet the reality is that since and while we are here on this earth, we are still bound by the human condition. Even though we have grace and mercy, even though God's joy is perfect and his peace comes, we still are bound by tests and trials. We still suffer and grieve, and we still have troubling circumstances that we face, trials that seem overwhelming and difficult to bear. Church, this is where the people in our text have found themselves in. You see, they knew that they had the benefits of God. They knew, because you see, God delivered them from Egypt. They knew that. God led them to the promised land. God had delivered them from their enemies. God made them into a great nation. They were living the benefits of God. And yet somehow in our text, they have found themselves bound to the human condition. You see, in our text, they are in captivity. They are in bondage. Somehow they went from the palace to the prison. Somehow they left the promised land and found themselves in a foreign land. They were in a precarious situation. Has anyone ever found themselves in a precarious situation? Has anyone found themselves in a predicament where they just couldn't figure out how they got there and couldn't figure out how to get out? Where the word of God seemed silent and it seemed as though you were all by yourself. And you search and you look for a way out, some help. Someone's got to help me here. This is where we find the people of God in our text today. And for that reason, I want to speak to you from the topic, what to do amidst adversity. What to do amidst adversity. There are three words or phrases that frame our message for today. They're phony testimony, the promise of God, and the power of perseverance. Phony testimony. The purpose and promise of God and the power of perseverance. We've established the fact that the people of God in our text were in a precarious predicament. And so I took a moment to look up what predicament meant. And according to the dictionary, predicament is a situation especially unpleasant, troublesome, or trying, for which extradition is difficult. You can't get out of it easy. You're stuck where you are. And these people were stuck in a foreign land. They were stuck in captivity. They were in a precarious predicament. They were prisoners of war, as it were. They were exiled, removed from their homeland. And at the root of their situation was their disobedience to God. You see, God said, I'll build you up, I'll set you right, but you got to follow my way. You got to not put anyone else in front of me. You can't follow the ways of other folks. I've set you apart. And they didn't take heed to that too well. And so as a parent, I know well when our kids don't listen to what we say, we're going to have to get their attention. And so God got their attention. God said, you're not going to enjoy the benefits of this place and not listen to my word. And so we find them in exile. We find them in a precarious predicament. And what we know is oftentimes when we are in spaces such as this, we are so overwhelmed by our circumstance. We feel in despair when we don't hear God speaking to us, when everything seems to go from bad to worse, when it seems like we're just being slammed. You know, you're here, you get the pink slip, you lost your job, then before you know it, you lose your home, then the kids ain't acting right, your spouse is kind of, everything just seems overwhelming, and you're met with a feeling of despair. And so you go searching, and you go looking, you say, someone's got to give me a good word. Someone's got to tell me something that will help me through. I need something to build me up so I can go on. And this is a dangerous place to be, because there are those out there that have a phony testimony. There are those out there who will say they have the word of God, but they don't have God's word at all. There are those out there who will tell you something, this is what you need to do, and will steer you on the wrong track. That's what happened to the people in our text today. You see, there were a number of false prophets trying to tell the people of Israel what they wanted to hear. He said, oh no, this won't be too long. You're going to be out of it before too long. God won't lead you here. And that wasn't the word of God at all. That's not what God had said. In our text, it says, once 70 years are complete, only then will I deliver you. And so they had a false sense of hope. But God steps in with the word of Jeremiah and he straightens out. He said, don't listen to false prophets. Do not listen to their phony testimony. You know, when I think about this, I think about even at times when you hear those stories of those phone scams, you know, people who call you up and say, do you want thousands of dollars? And what you need to do is give me $500 and I'll send you a check. And, you know, you're struggling already. You ain't got money already, but you're hoping that this will give you what you need. You're hoping that this will break you from your financial burden. It's like that when we have phony testimony. They tell you what you want to hear, but sometimes they end up making your situation even worse than what it is. And so when we are faced with adversity, we got to be careful. We got to be careful that we are not listening to phony testimony. Which brings me to my second point. Sometimes when we are in these situations, we feel alone, we feel abandoned, no one understands, no one knows the trouble I've seen, amen? No one knows our sorrow, and we feel as though God has left us. God doesn't leave you, church. God never leaves you. Regardless of your circumstances, God is always right there. God is right in the midst of our predicament. When things seem at the worst, God is there. God may not be talking, as it were, but God is always right there. And he was right there in the text as well. He came through Jeremiah with a word, a good word. And I'm grateful for the word of God today, amen? Because in his word, he reminded them of his promise. And what I know of God's promise is it's always true, amen? God would not say to you that he would do something if he wouldn't back it up. Amen? You see, God said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. God said to Sarah, in your old age, you will bear a child. God said to Moses at the burning bush, he says, I will set my people free. To Joshua, God said, you will lead my people into the promised land. To David, God said that when you go to battle, I'll be with you. God will never promise you something that he is not able to be there and bring you through. I am grateful for the promises of God. And so when the people of God who were in captivity heard this word saying, I will fulfill my gracious promise to you. That was a good word right there. That was the true message that they needed. And you know, it's funny about what promises and a word of encouragement does for us. It's funny how even though everything seems the same, it just feels a little different, amen? When you know that, oh, someone's noticed me. Oh, God's promises are true. Oh, trouble won't last always. It's amazing how even though your circumstance hasn't changed, but you feel a lot better about it. On Friday, I had to take my daughter to the dentist. And this particular dentist that we go to, the parents can't go back to the examining room. That was a little hard thing for me to deal with the first time I took her there. And as I was sitting there in the waiting room, watching the exchange of a nurse coming to get a young boy, and it looked as though this was almost his first trip to the dentist, and extract him, as it were, from his mother, I saw how he was like, no, I'm not going. And he would look like, you coming with me? She's like, I will be right here. I'm not going. And it wasn't until that mother kind of really got his attention and said, I will be right here. Have I ever told you anything that I have not done? Have I ever promised you anything that I did not do? And that child really looked into his mother's eyes, and he thought about that. And that gave him the courage to say, all right, I can do this thing. Even though he didn't know what he was facing or what he said, but my mom is going to be right there for me. And that's what God said to the people in our text. I have a promise for you. I am here with you. I have a plan for your life. You will not be here always, but in the appointed time, I will deliver you. I am grateful and thankful for the promises of God, for God's word that encourages us in time of trouble. I am thankful that even though we can't see, God sees. Even though we don't know, God knows. And it's only because we've had experience with God that we trust God even further. And what the promises of God does for us is it calls on our faith. It charges up our faith. It reminds us that we walk not by sight, but by faith. It reminds us that even though I don't see it, I know it's there. It encourages us to step out into the dark and not be afraid to venture forth. The promises of God that he makes to his people. So we need to beware of phony testimony. We need to not adhere to the words that are not of God. We need to hold on to God's promise and remember that what God did before, he's going to do again. And we also need to persevere. We need to persevere in the Lord. Amen. In our text, it says, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. When you call on me, I will hear you and answer you. A couple of days ago, we were watching the Olympic trials and seeing who was making the team and who wasn't making the various athletic teams. And I was reminded of the Olympics just some 4 years ago when Dara Torres was coming up for the trials, and there was so much buzz and chatter about her being the oldest possible Olympiad and her being 41 and able to make the swim team. And so she not only made the team and competed, but she also won an award as well. And I was reminded as I remember her memoir that she wrote. She says, age is not but a number. But she persevered, church. She persevered in the conditioning of her body. She did what normally could not be done. She had focus, and she stood still and stood on what she knew to be true, and she fought through. And she did what was necessary. She did her practice day in and day out. She ate the food that would bring her nourishment and that would enable her to muster all of her strength. And church, today, it's that same sense of determination and that same sense of conditioning that we need to face our time of adversity. We need to condition our minds in the Word of God. We need to meditate on God's Word. When adversity comes, the first thing we need to do is crawl up in our prayer closet with God's Word. We need to call out on the name of the Lord. We need to search through the Scriptures for those words of promise. We need to rest in God. The Scripture encouraged them. They said that even while in the midst of this struggle and this triumph, you need to call on God. You need to seek God's face. You need to pray to the Lord. This reminds me as well of Peter. And you know the story of Peter and the disciples? They were out on the water and the storm winds came and they were in this little boat. And Jesus was out away on the water. And when they looked around and they saw their circumstances, they began to fret. And it was only when Peter stepped out of the boat, stepped on his faith, looked to Jesus, that he began to miraculously walk on the water. Only when we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, only when we keep our hands in the things of God, only when we are nestled in the promises of God are we able to do the miraculous. Yes, yes, yes. And before you know it, we are persevering. We are pressing our way. We are moving through a time of testing and a time of trial. One thing I know for sure, church, is adversity will come. And into everyone's life, we will experience trial. And at some point or another, it will come. Don't know when it'll come. Don't know how long it will stay. Don't know what it's going to look like. But rest assured, we will be faced with trial. And it may be at our own hands. It may be something that we have done, or it may be just a testing of our faith. But trials are going to come. Trials will test us and push us to the brink. But I'm here to tell you that you can persevere, that you can press your way through, that God has given you everything you need to just move through this situation, that trouble won't last always. God has given you what is necessary to make your way through. He asks us only to trust in him. He gives us his promises to undergird us and to build us up and to hold us. And you know, even though we celebrate and know all of the good that we have, these times of trial still push us to the brink, push us to the edge. But I'm so glad that I have a God that meets me, meets you, meets us in our predicament, that does not shy away, that does not run away, that does not leave me forsaken. I am glad that I have a God that has promises that are sure and that keep me. That gives me the strength to endure. As I get ready to take my seat, I just say, you know, I'd rather have Jesus. When I am going through and when I find myself in a predicament, I'd rather have the Lord. You know, I would rather be in the will of God in the wilderness, to be outside of the will of God in a comforting place. I'd rather be with the Lord today. You know, I'd rather walk with Jesus through the storm, have him carry me, than to go it alone. I'd rather have Jesus today. And though the storm winds come, I'd rather have
have his promise. I'd rather like know that thus saith the Lord, that though I go through the shadows of death, he will be with me. I'd rather have Jesus today. I'd rather have the one that has gone before me that makes a place for me. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have the one who's already been through the fire, who's already been through the furnace. I'd rather have Jesus today. And what encourages me is he gives me his word. He strengthens me in prayer. He allows me to know that he'll bring me through. I'd rather, church. I'd rather have Jesus than anything at all. God bless you. The doors of the church are open. The word has been proclaimed. Our ministers and deacons are coming amongst you. Is there one who rather have Jesus today? Is there one who's found themselves in a predicament and they need God's promises to bring them through? Is there one? Church, this invitation is for non-believers, but believers alike. Is there one? God is here waiting. Yes. Forever and ever.
And ever.